Good afternoon, everybody. When it comes to the building of the Mishkan, which is the central theme of Truma Tetzaveh, Kitisa Vayakel Pekudei, it's remarkable just how much real estate the Torah really does devote to the construction of the Mishkan. The pasuk that we always bear in mind, V'asu li Mikdash, not just Mishkan, but this is but a precursor to the ultimate. As the pasuk says, "Kilovate maratel hamenucha v'lanachala v'asuli mikdash." That's the end game. V'shachanti bisocham, not bisocha, as everybody knows, but bisocham. That mikdash is delimited and valuable insofar as the framework for mikdash is a community and individuals who are prepared to receive the shechina in and of themselves. Right? It's not as an edifice structure in its own right of any intrinsic significance, but the significance is as an expression for a community of individuals who are prepared to receive the Shekhinah in their midst. And the moment that they cease to represent those values, then the Mikdash, of course, becomes farcical, almost an offense in its own right. We'll talk a little bit later on in this year about the Psukim in Yirmiyahu, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Eima, when the house becomes intrinsically valuable and there's a lack of regard for what Shekhinah and receiving Shekhinah is all about. So I wanted to start not with the psukim from our Haftorah, as we usually do, but just to give a little bit of the background for what will be the basic thesis of this year. This is the very beginning of Shlomo HaMelech's career. V'givon nira Hashem el Shlomo b'chalom halayla. Remember the Mishkan after being destroyed in Shiloh. It was in Shiloh for 369 years, the 57-year period where the Mishkan is in Nov and Givon. And Hashem rendezvous with Shlomo. It's this very early on. B'chalom alayla v'yomer Elohim sh'al ma'aten lach v'yomer Shlomo ato asisi ma'avdecha David avi chesed gadol kasher halach lefanecha be'emes uvitztako v'yishras levav imach v'tishmor lo esa chesed hagadol hazeh v'titin lo ben Yoshev al kiso kayom hazeh. First, Shlomo acknowledges that he's not there on his own merits, but he's there through the merits of his father. V'ata Hashem Elokai, you're not only the God of my father, but you're also my God, Elokeinu, as we say, V'Elokei Avoseinu. We'll return to this theme at the very end of this year, God willing. Ata himlach desavdecha tachas David aviv anochi na'ar katon lo edot seis vavo. I'm not experienced the sense of vulnerability on the part of young Shlomo. V'avdecha besocham chasher b'charta amrava shirlo yimanev lo yisafer meirov. Quantitatively, the people are enormous. V'nasata la'avdecha lev shomea lishpodes amecha lahavin bein tov v'ra. Kimiuchal lishpodes amcha kaved hazeh. What do I need more than anything? I need a lev shomea lishpot es amcha. I need to be able to adjudicate properly, to understand the Torah, lahavin bein tov lara, and to serve primarily as a repository of Torah law and instruction and guidance for the entire Jewish people. Vayitava davar b'nei Adonai kishal Shlomo es davar hazeh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was immediately impressed that Shlomo asked for this. Vayomer Elohim elav yana asher shaltas davar hazeh v'lo shaltu l'cha yamim rabim. It wasn't a personal request for arichus yamim. V'lo shaltu l'cha osher and not wealth. V'lo shaltu nefesh oivecha. You didn't ask for vengeance or vindictiveness. V'shaltu l'cha lahavin nishmo mishpat. You asked to be able to adjudicate properly. Hinei asisi kidvarecha, I will give it to you. Hinei nasati lecha lev chacham v'navon, asher kamocha lo haya lefanecha v'acharecha lo yakum kamocha. The idea that Shlomo was the wisest person is not medrash, it's not found in the Achronim. It's a pasuk in Navi, that because Shlomo asked for this, he felt scared and anxious about the enormous responsibility that we would have to adjudicate, to be the representative of Torah in that generation, and he asked for Lev Shomei Lishpot es Amcha Lahavin Ben Tov Lara. Hashem was incredibly impressed and granted this. V'gam Asher Lo Sha'alta Nasati Lach, and therefore I'll give you even that which you did not ask for. Gam Osher Gam Kavod Asher Lo Yachamocha Yishvam Lachim Kol Yamecha. I'll give you all the frills, everything else, all of the materials, all the chesed v'zahav, as we'll speak about later in the context of Parshas Truma. But the only reason I'm giving that to you is not because you asked for that. What you asked for was you asked for the substance. And so, of course, that which is exterior or superficial can be granted as well. V'im telech bidrachai lishmor chukayu mitzvosai. And if you keep on this particular path, if you keep on the path of Torah and mitzvos, kasher alach David avicha v'arachti, Es Yamecha. We need this perek very much to understand the context of our Haftorah when Shlomo actually sets about building the Beis HaMikdash. The first thing that Shlomo does is not to build the Beis HaMikdash, as we said at the beginning, that everybody was here. V'asuli Mikdash is conditional on Vishachanti Besocham, and having the kind of polity, or even at the individual, having formed the kind of spiritual personality that's ready to receive the Shechina. There's something which is so much more fundamental than a fancy building, or even a fancy tabernacle in the case of the Mishkan, but it's a commitment, a steadfast and unwavering commitment to the Torah itself, which is exactly what Shlomo asked for before everything else. Lev shomei lishpot esamcha lahavin bein tov l'ra. So the very conclusion of the Haftorah that we read this week, Vayidvar Hashem el Shlomo le'mor, this is after Shlomo has initiated the process of binyan beis hamikdash, habayis hazeh asher atavoneh. Again, Hashem is emphasizing that the building is not significant. It's a fancy building, but it's a building. Im teilech b'chukosai v'esmishpatai taseh v'shamaretes kol mitzvosai l'lechas b'hem v'akimosi es devarai itach asher dibarti al David avicha v'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Right, that pasuk, there you have the connection. V'shachanti b'socham v'lo e'ezov es ami Yisrael. Okay, but again, it all depends on chok and mishpat, it all depends on commitment to the Torah. And there's this terrible misconception that people have about Mishkan and Mikdash. You ask people, you know, what goes on, people immediately say, oh, it's the place of the korbanos. But let's not forget that the Mizbeach is not in the holiest area of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mizbeach isn't even in the second holiest area of the Beis HaMikdash. The heart of the Mishkan, the heart of the Mikdash, is of course the Kodesh Kadashim. And what's in the Kodesh Kadashim? Nothing other than the Torah. The Luchos, the Shivrei Luchos, the Torah. And as we'll see in the Psukim in Parshas Truma, that is the means through which God communicates to the Jewish people. It's true the Mizbeach is important. Al Shlosha Dvarim Ma'olam Omed, Al HaTorah, Al HaVoda, Al Gmilas Chasadim. I'm not here to downplay Avoda, but it all rests on the Torah. So before Shlomo could commence building the Beis HaMikdash, what had to be established was his fidelity, his commitment, his investment, and his devotion to the Torah. And the Psukim in Yeshayahu that I mentioned before, just very, very briefly, the concept that when there is avoda korbanos without a steadfast commitment to Torah, so then the korbanos themselves become an affront and an offense. Lamali rov zivchechem yomar Hashem. It's of course the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon. Savati lo silim v'chelev mirim. I've had enough of this. V'dam parim uchvasim v'atudim lo chafatzti. I want no more of this from you. I have no interest in your korbanos if it's not in the context of adherence to Torah. Okay. Likewise, in Sefer Shmuel, the famous psukim that we're going to read the Haftorah next week, Shabbos Zachor, Vayomer Shmuel, this is chastising Shaul, who said that he didn't listen to the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a mitzvah to destroy Amalek. Part of the destroying Amalek in this case was destroying all the animals. And Shaul said that he was smarter than God because he was going to bring the animals as korbanos. And Shmuel says, "Hayitachin? Is it conceivable?" Vayomer Shmuel, "Achivetz Hashem ba'olus usvachim ki shmoa bekol Hashem." Are korbanos more important than chukim u'mishpatim, than actually listening to the Torah, than listening to the voice of God? Hinei shemoa, simply listening, is better than zevach tov, than any korban, lahakshiv, to lend your ear, mechelev elim, than the choicest fats of the rams. And again, in the psukim in Yirmiyahu, when Yirmiyahu was actually, you know, be'es maises, we would say, when it was all taking place and Chorban Bayis Rishon was coming down, mi aisha chacham v'yavein ezos, we have in the fifth source, v'asher diber pi Hashem elav v'yageda, or v'yageda, excuse me, al ma'avda ha'aretz, why was the land of Israel destroyed, nitzisach ha'midbar mibli over, that it was rendered desolate like a desert, without any passers-by or travelers, v'yomer Hashem, and God answers his own question, al azvam estoratsi, it's not because they didn't bring enough korbanos, it's not because they didn't do enough ritual. Al azvam is torasi asher nasati lifnayim velo shamu vekoli velo halchuva. It's quite simple. The Beis HaMikdash, if it's not supported by the foundation of Torah, as Shlomo said, the most important thing is lev shomei lishpot esamcha, to be able to serve as a proper dayan. And now we understand the smichas aparshios between Parshas Mishpatim, which is all about that, and Parshas Truma. You can't have a Mishkan and you can't have a Mikdash if it doesn't rest on the foundation of Torah. So this is what the Psukim and Yirmiyahu are saying, that when the Beis HaMikdash was just a building and it didn't really represent a commitment to Torah anymore, so then it became a farce and it became something which not just was destroyed, but which needed to be destroyed. You know, it's a fascinating thing. If you take a look at this Eicha Rabbah, I'm indebted to my teacher, Rabbi Yitzchak Tursky, my teacher in high school, he first pointed out this Eicha Rabbah to us, and he would speak to us about this particular source in Chazal very, very often. Okay, this is all about the relationship between Mikdash and Torah. Reb Huna v'Reb Yirmiyah b'Shem Reb Shmuel b'Reb Yitzchak Amar Matzino Shavitar Kadosh Baruch Hu Avodah Zarah Gilui Arayos Al Shvichos Damim. God can look past a lot of things. God can look past some pretty serious averos, the Gimel Chamuros in this case, Avodah Zarah Gilui Arayos Shvichos Damim. V'lo Viter Al Ma'asa Shel Torah. But when it came to repudiation of Torah itself, not just a failure in a particular area of halacha, even a very serious area of halacha, but a disregard for Torah, the corpus of Torah, Torah as an entire enterprise. Shene'emar al me'avda ha'aretz, quoting the psukim in Yirmiyahu, al avodas kochav me'agibu ha'aretz ha'shvichos damim ein ksivkan. None of those are mentioned. Ela al azvam es Torasi. Because they lost respect for Torah. Remember, Shlomo paid the greatest respect for Torah. When God says you can ask for anything, and he says, I want to be able to understand the Torah to properly guide the Jewish people. When that sense was lost, there was no more basis for Mikdash. Rav Huna, Rav Yirmiyah, B'Shem Rav Chiya, Barabbar, Amri, Ksiv, Osi, Ozavu, Yirmiyahu said, they have left me, Ves Torasi, Lo Shamar. It seems like redundant. What's the difference between the two? Osi, Ozavu, that they left God, Torasi, Lo Shamaru. So that, such a beautiful drasha here, in the Medrash, Halavai, God says, would that it were, Osi Azavu, that they merely left me, Visorasi Shamaru, but had they guarded the Torah, had they continued to respect Torah, Mitoch Shahayu Misaskin Ba, that the study of Torah, the commitment to Torah, and respect for Torah, Hama'or Shaba, Haya Machzira on the Mutav. That's a very famous line. Hama'or Shaba Machzira on the Mutav, that the light of Torah can return you to God. So God says, I wish they would have forgotten about me. They never would have come to the Beis HaMikdash, do Aliyah L'Regel with any fancy korbanos. If all they would have done is continue to involve themselves, the Asek, La'asok B'divrei Torah, remember, Osek B'mitzvah, Patar Min HaMitzvah, it means not just to sort of be superficially involved, but to be immersed. Mitoch Shayu Misaskin Ba Hama'or Shaba Haya Machzira L'Mutav, the light of Torah, the illuminating quality of Torah, would have restored them back to me. In other words, Mikdash is important, but it's only as important as the Torah which underlies it. And indeed, that really is the relationship between Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Truma. We can't have V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham before we've developed that sense of total commitment to all of the Mishpatim in their totality. Again, Mitoch Ma'or Shaba, Machzir and the Mutav, that what really leads the path towards Mikdash is the relationship with Torah. Going back to Parshas Mishpatim for really just a moment, I want to try to detail this through a number of very fascinating lines, both in Rashi and the Psukim themselves. We know that the last verse in Parshas Yisro, just to go back a little bit, has to do with a certain halacha in the Mizbeach. Okay, that the Mizbeach, when it's to be constructed, there should be a ramp and not steps. V'lo salu v'malos al Mizbechi, asher lo sigaler v'ascha alav, because it's more modest to go up the ramp than it is to go up the steps. The next pasuk is, with the conjunctive vav, the vav achibur, ve'ele ha-mishpatim, asher tasim lifnehem, that these are the laws. So Rashi comments, lama nismcha parshas dinim leparshas Mizbeach. Why is it that the Mizbeach, which represents the world of korbanos, is connected to the world of dinim, lomar lacha, to teach you the halacha, and this is actually the way that it was practiced, both in the midbar, as well as in the Beis HaMikdash, lomar lacha shetasim sanhedrin eitzel ha-Mizbeach, that the Mizbeach can never be an independent entity. When korbanos run amok, then we have a disaster. The placement of the Sanhedrin, of the Beis Din HaGadol, right next to the Mizbeach, is the clearest way of expressing the idea that korbanos can be a very dangerous thing. They can give you a false sense of security. Remember what Shaul said, oh, I'm not going to kill off the animals of Amalek, all I need to do is offer korbanos. As if God can be bribed through korbanos, losing sight of the fact that our relationship with God is always mediated by the Torah itself. Milamit shetasim Sanhedrin etzal Mizbeach. The Mizbeach has to be guarded over and circumscribed by the presence of the Sanhedrin. And it's exactly in the opposite direction as well. There's a beautiful psukim at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, which I think highlight this in a unique way. Ma'ke ish v'meis, mos yumas. So the Torah says that a person who kills somebody else is subject to capital punishment. V'asher lo tzada, but if it wasn't intentional, v'aluhim ina li yado, and it was an accident which is brought about by God, v'samti lecha makom asher yanush shama. So already before there are arei miklat in the land of Israel, v'samti lecha makom asher yanush shama, God says, even in the midbar, had there been a case of rotzeach bishkaga, I'm going to provide you a place for you to run. So Rashi comments, this is the ninth source, and then we'll return to the pasuk that I haven't yet read from the eighth source. Vesamti lecha makom af b'midbar sheyanu shama ve'eza makom kolato. Where is the place that will absorb the rotech bishkaga, the unintentional murderer? So zeh machane levia. So Rashi says it's the Leviim. Just like in Eretz Yisrael, eventually all of the Arei Miklat are actually cities of Leviim. Okay, there are certain... This is a little beyond the scope now, but the Gemara Masachas Makos explains that basically, if you're Rotech Bishkaga, you could take refuge in any of the 48 cities of Leviim. There were six ones that were designated that had certain special properties, but to be around the Leviim, who are of course the representatives of Torah, they were meant to be the ones who protected and were there to rehabilitate the Rotzeach Bishgaga. Okay, fine. V'samti l'chol makom asher yanu shama. So certainly somebody who did not intentionally kill should not be put to death. That itself would be a terrible perversion of justice. Pasuk Yadalit is the eighth source. V'chi yazid. Yazid is from the language of mazid, intentionally. Ish al re'ehu lehargo ve'arma. But there was intentional murder. Me'im mizbechi tikachenu lamus. Literally, take him away from the Mizbeach. Where did people used to run if they wanted a place of sanctuary? They used to run to hold on to the Mizbeach, like we have in Sefer Melachim with Yoav ben Tsruya and Adoniyahu ben Chagit, right? They hold on to the Mizbeach, and Shlomo, eventually, when he sentenced them to death, this is the very beginning of Sefer Melachim, they actually drag them away from the Mizbeach. So Rashi comments, Me'im Mizbechi, there's no...
Where are you?
That was just reading the Pasuk Yedalad. This is now the ninth source. Mindy, Me'im Mizbechi, Im Hayakohen... Yeah, we just went back to the pasuk for a second. Me'im mizbechi, im haya kohen v'rotza lavod avoda tikachenu lamus. Even if he was a kohen and he wants to perform, you know, like one last korban, as it were, tikachenu lamus, he must be put to death. Capital punishment must be administered. I think this is such a powerful idea when you put it in the context of what we're discussing today. The mizbeach is not some independent religious structure. So a person who has just committed an act of murder can't seek refuge by the Mizbeach and expect that somehow, voodoo, hocus pocus, these korbanos are going to protect him. And a Kohen who, you know, is a murderer and wants to offer a korban has no place offering a korban. Me'im mizbechi tikachenu lamus. It's that same theme of Tasim Sanhedrin Eitzal Mizbeach. Mishkan, Mikdash, is only significant when it's predicated on the strong foundation of Torah. And hence, that's why we read those psukim. Long before Shlomo said about building the Beis HaMikdash, he had to establish his credentials. And what were his credentials? That he asked for a Lev Shomea Lishpot Es Amcha Lehavin Bein Tov Lara. He established above all that he was a person who wanted nothing more than the deepest commitment to Torah. And once he established that, so then you can aspire to build God a house. Then it's possible to speak in terms of Asuli Mikdash. But without that foundation of Torah, as we're about to see, the Mikdash not just is devoid of meaning, but becomes a problem, because it gives people the false notion that somehow God is to be found in the Korban, and God is not to be found in adherence, as the Pasuk in Shmuel says, HaChefetz LaHashem Be'olos Uzvachem. Do you think that God wants Korbanos? That's what God needs more than anything else. Kishmoa b'kol Hashem. The most important thing is a commitment to Torah in its entirety. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that this is designed very well into the halachic system, because when Shevet Levi is, of course, given the bracha by Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah, we're told that Shevet Levi has a dual function. This is now the 10th source. Yoru mishpatach al Yaakov v'sorascha liYisrael. The primary function of Shevet Levi are to be the Torah educators, to provide hora'ah to the house of Jacob v'sorascha liYisrael, and then, but only then, within that framework, yasimu ketorah v'apecha v'chali al mizbechacha. They will place the ketores on the special mizbeach ha-ketores, and they will place v'chalil as a reference to the korban ola, then that will go on the mizbeach. Their primary role, of course, is as Torah educators. How often the Kohen works 1 or 2 weeks a year in the Beis HaMikdash? They had a rotation. But all year long, he's a Torah educator. His role is yasimu ketorah v'apecha v'chalil mizbechacha is preceded, not just in the pasuk, but conceptually preceded by his role as an educator of Torah. And that's why, just to repeat what I said before, the holiest place in the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash is reserved for the Torah, for the Aron, not for the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is in the courtyard. an area of relatively lesser sanctity. Still sanctity. Somebody who's Tameh can't go there. But the only person who can go into the Kodesh Kadashim is the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the holiest place reserved for the Torah. Yes?
I was thinking that Tfilot are now our substitute for Avanot, right?
To a certain extent, that's true. There is the Pasuk in Hosea that Unishama Parim...
I'm just thinking people who seem or who are devout in one aspect of their lives,
yes,
and not another.
Yes. So let me just comment on that. Yeah, that is to a certain extent true. Certainly the framework of Tfilos, as the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chafav Beis says, Tfilos keneged Tmidim Tiknum were based off the structure of Tfilos. So the Tamid Shel Shachar translated into Tfilas Shacharis, and the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim translated into Tfilas Mincha, and the Karban Musaf translated into the Karban Musaf, etc., into Tfilas HaMusaf, and rather. So there's a certain truth in that, but remember there was always going to be a place for tefillah when Shlomo, not that this is our topic for now, but when Shlomo was first inaugurating and inducting the Beis HaMikdash, he said that this would be a place of tefillah that everybody would daven. And there in Yeshayahu reaffirms that while the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, ki vesi veis tefillah yikarei v'chol hamim. So both things are really true. There was always going to be tefillah. According to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven every single day. According to the Ramban, it's probably a mitzvah d'oraisa only to daven during times of distress. There was always a place for tefillah, but the role of tefillah became pronounced and more significant when we no longer had the korbanos. Avoda was transferred to a certain extent from avodas ha-korbanos to avodas ha-tefillah, which is actually the source text the Rambam uses for the mitzvah tefillah. Ula avdo b'chol avavcham, based on the Gemara in Tainus and Daf Beis, ezohi avoda shebelev, hevi omer zot tefillah. However, you are absolutely correct in bringing up that point in this particular context. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud notes there are two Amoraim. I always forget which one was on which side of the issue, but Rabbi Yirmi and Rabbi Zeira were learning together, and one of them says, "Oh, we better stop learning. We should go daven now." And the other one rebukes him, and he says, "Meisir ozno mishmoa Torah," quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, "the one who removes his ear from the study of Torah, gam tfilaso toeva, his tfilah is an abomination." Tfilah, the ability to commune with God in that very intimate way, rests on the framework of adherence to God's will. It's not simply that one can say, okay, so I daven and I communicate with God and that's enough, and then I go and do whatever I do the rest of the day. Absolutely not. Meisir ozno mishmoa Torah, gam tfilaso toeva. The relationship has to be an authentic one, and it becomes a farcical thing when the person is praying and then they turn around the next minute and they cheat people. And don't take it from me, take it from Yeshayahu HaNavi, because the basic theme, we only read one pasuk from Haftarah's Chazon, the first chapter of Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu says, Lamali rov zivchecham, God said, enough korbanos. God also says, gam ki tarbu tfilah, inani shomei, I have no interest in your tefillah. You behave this way. Yedeichem damim aleihu. You're murderers. You don't take care of the almana. You don't take care of the yasom. You have no compassion for people who need your help. And your tefillah is supposed to be meaningful to me? It's a disgrace, your tefillah. It's an affront to me. And so you're absolutely right to bring it up. Tefillah and korbanos really have that exact same framework where a person can sort of hide behind them without allowing it to impact the broader religious life. So it's
isn't davening supposed to make you better every day? I mean, you do things, but if you, I don't understand that, because truthfully, when I don't daven, I don't remember who I should be. So if you're davening the proper way, it's changing who you are, hopefully, for that day and every day that you daven, to remind you to be that person.
Mindy, I could not have said that better myself. And let me just try to detail that in a very unique perspective that the Rambam has. This will take us 2 minutes, and hopefully it won't be a tangent, but we'll sort of reinforce the point, and we'll show how these are really two sides of the same coin. On the one hand, you know, when you have a person who's davening on and lives a life in a particularly... particularly offensive way, then you have the pasuk in Yeshayahu, gam ki tarbu tefillah ineni shomea. The tefillah itself becomes an abomination because it doesn't reflect an attempt at a serious relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Mindy's saying is certainly also true that the real impact that tefillah is meant to have on us is to inspire our broader avoda. Just 2 minutes here, and I know this will seem, I hope it won't seem overly technical. The Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvos has 14 different principles as to what the criterion are for counting something as part of Tariq Mitzvah, as part of the 613 mitzvahs. So the fourth criterion, what's called the Shoresh HaRavi, the Rambam lays down the principle that any pasuk which doesn't have a specific application, but is general in nature, such as Kedoshim Tihyu. Kedoshim Tihyu isn't one of the 613 mitzvahs because it's an overarching theme. We're supposed to try to achieve a life of sanctity. So one would think that something like Ula Avdo, when the Pasuk says that we're supposed to serve God, cannot be a particular mitzvah. So the Rambam presents this question against himself because, you know, he says that that is actually the source for the mitzvah of tefillah. So how can it be both the source for the mitzvah of tefillah, but also a general, what we call a mitzvah klalis, and therefore not part of Taryag? The Rambam does assume that tefillah is one of the 613 commandments. So I think the only plausible answer is precisely what Mindy is suggesting, that both are true at the same time. Ula Avdo is a mitzvah kolelas. It impacts every area of our lives, how we talk to people, our honesty in business, every single mitzvah we keep, Ben Adam L'makom, Ben Adam L'chaveru, can rightly be described, as we say colloquially, as part of our Avodas Hashem. But Ula Avdo also specifically means tefillah, and Talmud Torah, that's for a different time. The Rambam says it means both, because tefillah is the avoda that catalyzes the rest of the avoda. And so you see, it's not a contradiction to say that Ula Avdo in particular means tefillah, and for that reason the Rambam is well within his rights in terms of counting it, but it also is a reference to our broader avodas Hashem because it's the catalyst. Davening done right reminds us that we're Omed Lifnei HaMelech, not just three times a day, or however many times a day, once a day, twice a day, three times a day, but that we're Omed Lifnei HaMelech literally all the time, as it says in Mizmor Yutes of Tehillim, Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samid Kimi Mini Balamot. Tefillah is supposed to remind us that even after we've taken the three steps back, that God is still very much watching, V'chol Ma'asecha B'Sefer Nechtavim, that everything is indeed being recorded. So it really is, as Mindy says, really two sides of the same coin. Tefillah, when done with an eye towards enhancing, inspiring our broader surface, is exactly the avoda that triggers the rest of the avodos. But if it's not done within that framework, if it's meisir ozno mishmoa Torah, it's like a religious escapism, gam tefillah so toeva, the tefillah itself becomes a formative abomination. So if everything that I've said up until now is true, then one would expect, one should rightly expect, that the first thing that the Torah would describe when it comes to construction of the Mishkan is indeed the Torah. My whole argument is that the Mishkan is not really about the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is contingent upon something much more significant, which is the overall relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem, and that's expressed by adhering to the Torah. The single best example of this is, of course, Nadav and Avihu. On the very first day of the Mishkan's existence, Nadav and Avihu were consumed by a fire because they were bringing a korban, the holiest korban. It should have been a great thing, right? They were bringing a ketores. No. Asher lo tzivo, some. They weren't commanded to do it. There is no such thing as a valuable korban that doesn't rest on the framework of Torah, of implementing what it is that God told us. That's why it's called Eish Zara Asher lo tzivo, some. That's the first day the Mishkan existed, this went wrong. That balance between Torah and Mizbeach of the Aron and the role of the Torah. And that is indeed exactly what you find. The first thing that's discussed in Parshas Truma, after we have the listing of the 15 different elements that you can donate, Zav, Chesed, Nechoshes, Tcheles, Argaman, Tolash, Shani, V'Sheish, V'Izim, it's a list of 15 things that a person could choose to donate. The first thing that's discussed is not the Mizbeach at all. Mizbeach comes much later. The first thing that's discussed is the Aron. V'asu aron atzei shitim, and I'm going to come back to a number of the architectural features. Amasayim v'chetzi arko, 2.5 amos in length. V'amav v'chetzi rachbo, 1.5 amos in width. V'amav v'chetzi komaso, and 1.5 amos in height. V'tzipiso so zahav tahor, it should be covered in gold. Mibayis mi'chutz titzapenu. V'asisa alav zer zahav saviv. There should be a little crown on the Aron. So again, the way that it sounds just in terms of the simple pshat, which is not the way it's understood halachically, is that you have this box, 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5 box of wood, this special atzei shitim, a special kind of a wood, and it should be plated in gold both on the inside and the outside. Vitzi piso so zahav tahor mibayis umichutz tzepenu. The way that this understood halachically is there are actually three boxes, one within the other. Okay? But be that as it may, the Torah is describing it, and it goes on to say, V'yatzakta lo arba taba'o sahav, there should be four rings on the aron, v'nasata lo arba pamosav, on the corners, u'shtei taba'o sal tzalo achas, u'shtei taba'o sal tzalo asheni, so that in the aron you have four rings, two on each side. V'asisa badei atzei shitim, and again, you should make poles of the same atzei shitim, v'tzipiso, some zahav, and they too should be covered in gold. V'veisos habadim bataba'os, and you should place these poles within the rings, al tzalos ha'aron, each one on the sides of the aron, laseses ha'aron bahem, to carry the aron with these poles. So you can imagine, it happens to be later on, in Sefer Bamidbar, we're told that there was a special subgroup of Levim called Kahas, the family of Kahas, which was the family that Moshe and Aaron came from, and they were the ones that were supposed to carry all of the Kalim, including the Aaron. Gershon and Merari had different jobs. Gershon were supposed to cover carry the various covers of the Mishkan, called the Mishkan and the Ohel, etc., and Merari were doing the heavy lifting. They were carrying the boards, and their heavy lifting, both Merari and Gershon, they were given wagons. The Nesim donate wagons in Sefer Bamidbar. But when it comes to Bnei Kas, we actually are told, Avodas HaKodesh Alehem, since they're carrying the holy vessels, Bakatef Yisau, they're not allowed to use wagons. They have to carry it actually on their shoulders. They have to use their own physical strength. Okay. So all of these details I'd like to try to develop as we go forward. So veveses habadim b'taba'os al tzalos ha'aron, laseses ha'aron bahem, to carry the aron with these poles. B'taba'os ha'aron yihiyu habadim. Now the Torah repeats, the poles should always be within the rings of the aron, lo yasuru mimenu. You're not allowed to take them out. This is actually counted as one of the 365 prohibitions of the Torah, that you can't remove the poles from the aron. V'nasata el ha'aron, and you should place inside the aron, es ho'edus, the testimony, of course, the Luchos Ha'edus, Asher Etein Elecha. Okay, so now we're being told that what's the whole point of this, you know, very elaborate 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5 Atzei Shitim covered in gold with the rings, with the poles. What's it all for? The Edus, the Luchos Ha'edus. In other words, the revelation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Now, V'asisa Chapores Zahav Tahor, the Chapores was the golden lid of that would go on top of the aron, as we're about to see. Amasayim v'chetzi orka. Again, it matches the aron in terms of its length. V'amav v'chetzi rochba. It obviously doesn't have a height because it's just a kolsh. It's very, very thin. V'asisa shenayim keruvim zahav. And you should make, out of this kapores, you should make two cherubs, literally. Miksha ta'asosam mishnek tzosa kapores. Anybody know what the term miksha means? Out of one piece. It only comes up three times in the Torah, in the context of the menorah and the chatzotros that Moshe uses, and in this case, of the kruvim as well. It means that you're not allowed to take different pieces of gold and somehow fasten them together, but you take a block of gold. This obviously requires some very significant skill and expertise in terms of gold working, and to fashion them into kruvim. Okay, and we're going to talk about this idea of miksha. V'asei keruv echad mikatzah mizeh, keruv echad mikatzah mizeh. The keruvim should be on both sides. Min ha-kapores, they should emerge naturally out of the kapores. Imagine out of this table, if you know, we were able to emerge organically out of this table, one on this side and one on that side. Keruv echad mikatzah mizeh, min ha-kapores, tasuas ha-keruvim al shnei ktzosav on both of its sides. V'hayu ha-keruvim porsei chnafayim lamala, their wings should extend upwards. Sochechin b'chanfehen al ha-kapores, and these wings, the knafayim, should hover over the kapores, ufnehem ish elachiv, literally, according to the Torah. We'll see an important gemara about this in just a moment, but they should face each other. El ha-kapores yihiyu p'nei ha-keruvim. We'll develop the idea much further, but let's just assume for a second, as Chazal do assume, that the kruvim are a sign of the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. We'll reference that famous source in the Chazal, when things are not going well, that they face away from each other. Things are going well, they actually face each other. Ufnehem ish el achiv, el ha-kapores yihiyu p'nei ha-kruvim. V'nasata es ha-kapores al ha-aron milmala. And you should place the kapores on top of the aron. V'el ha-aron, and inside the aron, titen es ho-edus asher etein elach. Again, we're repeating something that really was already stated, and we have to wonder why the Torah is repeating it. The Torah is saying that you have to put the edus, the luchos ha'edus, inside the aron. V'no'ad ti l'cha sham. And I will literally meet you there. V'dibarti t'cha me'al ha-kaporis mi'ben shnei ha-kruvim. Moshe, I will commune with you, and through you, the entire Jewish people, from between the kruvim. Asher al aron ho'edus, again, for the third time repeating itself. Eis kol asher atzaveh uschal b'nei Yisrael, anytime I have a message for the Jewish people. So I think that this is, the importance of this cannot possibly be overstated. How does Hashem communicate with the Jewish people in the Mishkan? From which place? Literally, from on top of the Torah. Not from the Mizbeach, not from the Menorah, not from the Mizbeach HaKtoris, and not from the Shulchan. But this beautiful cover, which is placed on top of the Torah, called the Kaporis. The Kaporis is turned into these Kruvim. And Hashem says, V'no'ati l'cha Hashem. Your relationship with me is centered upon what in the Mishkan? The Torah. And that's why twice and three times the Torah repeats itself. By the way, what's inside the Aron? And the Kaporis lit up, the Torah. And don't think that you merit somehow this moment of revelation and religious exaltation, and you're going to have some religious experience which is devoid of keeping the Torah. V'no'ati l'cha Hashem. And it's very clear from the very beginning of the construction of the Mishkan that the only way the Jewish people are going to merit being able to communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, obviously in this case through Moshe, it all rests on the foundation of the Luchos HaEdus. And if that foundation isn't there, then you can just imagine it metaphorically, the Kruvim rest on what? The Aron. But if the Aron and the Torah aren't being respected, what happens to the Kruvim? Just collapse down to the ground. V'no'ati l'cha Hashem. So the Mishkan isn't some way of running away from the Torah, but as we said before, milamit shetasim sanhedrin etzel ha-mizbeach. The Mishkan is significant. The Korbanos are significant only if there is the Sanhedrin, if there is the Torah. And that's why when we discuss the crime, the very beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, somebody who commits a terrible crime, he's a murderer, he breaks that most fundamental law of the Torah, me'im mizbechi tikachenu lamos. You can't just hide on the Mizbeach. It's not some zone of immunity from religious law. On the contrary, the Mishkan was predicated on the foundation of the Torah. And indeed, this idea that the very heart of the Mishkan, the very purpose of the Mishkan, is not the Mizbeach, but is the Torah itself, is actually confirmed by Psukim and Sefer Bamidbar. It's a remarkable Psukim, but first in Perek Tes of Bamidbar, and then in Perek Yud of Bamidbar. It's the 12th and 13th sources. So the Torah says, Uviyom Hakim is HaMishkan, the day that the Mishkan finally went up, Aleph Nisan of the second year since we left Egypt, Kisa ha'ananis ha-mishkan, God's presence descended onto the Mishkan in the form of a cloud. Remember, God's presence is always symbolized by the cloud. Le'ohel ha'edus. Kisa ha'ananis ha-mishkan, le'ohel ha'edus. The Mishkan is being given a second name. Mishkan obviously comes from Shechina, the place where God's presence is, but it's called the Ohel ha'edus, the tent of the Edus. Uva'erev yel ha-mishkan kemarei esh ad boker. Likewise, Pasuk Yud Aleph and Perak Yud, this is the 13th source. Vayi bashana shenis bachodesh hasheni be'esrim bachodesh na'ala ha'anan. This is when the Jewish people were supposed to start traveling to Israel. It says that the cloud lifted up from where? Me'al Mishkan ha'edus. So Rashi comments, this is the comment on the Pasuk and Perak Tes, but again it's the same theme. Ha'mishkan la'oel ha'edus. Ha'mishkan he'asui, this is the 14th source. Lihios ohel luchos ha'edus. Why was the Mishkan constructed? For no other reason than simply to be a tent, luchos ha'edus. It's a fancy structure, and that's constructed for one purpose, to house the luchos ha'edus. Ha'mishkan he'osoi lihios ohel luchos ha'edus. It's amazing. You wouldn't even know from these psukim that there was a Mizbeach there. It's all about the Luchos Ha'edos and the Aron that contains them. And that's why the nickname here given for the Mishkan is the Ohel Ha'edos. That's what it was about in the end. There are a lot of details, of course, you know, when it comes to the construction of the Mishkan.
What is we missed it. I'm sorry. It's the nickname for what?
The Mishkan, the nickname for the Mishkan is Ohel HaEdus. Not Ohel HaMizbeach, not Ohel HaMenorah. It's the Ohel HaEdus.
Are you coming back to Mishkan?
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna develop all those. So and now what I wanted to start to deal with is the idea of all these details that I pointed out, and all of them are certain messages about, you know, now that we've established clearly that the very heart of the Mishkan is not the Korbanos, not the Mizbeach, which obviously have a role to play. I'm not trying to diminish that, but I'm saying that they're only significant in the context of the Torah. Torah is the only thing that's eternal. We don't have Korbanos right now. Dispute as to whether we'll have Korbanos in the future. But what we do have always, you know, for all eternity, is Torah. So I just want to pick up now on some of the details of the poles, details of the Zer Zahav, that little crown or fringe element, details of the Miksha, and then try to bring everything to a conclusion with the Atzei Shittim. Okay. Some of the details in the construction, you could ask, you know, I guess the question would be, you know, if it's just a tent which is built around the... which is built around the Luchos HaEdus, so why does it need to be so elaborate? So what I try to detail here at the last third of the shiur or so is just how each detail is a way of making a particular comment about our relationship with Torah. So to begin with, you know, just a straightforward one, the Zer Zahav Saviv, it said that the Aron was meant to be constructed with a kind of a golden crown. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains the Zer Zahav was kemin keser makif lo saviv lamala misfaso, so that if you would look at the way that the Aron was constructed, it was as if there was a crown around the sides, around the edges. She'asa Aron achitzon gavoa min apnimi. As I mentioned, there were three boxes, one inside the others, and the exterior box, the Aron achitzon, the most exterior box, was just a little bit elevated over the inner box, ad sha'ala lamul ovia kaporas ulamada ulamala hemenu mashu. So if the kaporas is the lid, so the kaporas is the lid of the box, and around the little walls of the box are just a little higher than the lid. So the exterior box, if this is the kaporas, just a little bit above it, a drop above it, you have the walls of the exterior box. And the walls of the exterior box are not just flat, but they're shaped like a crown. What's that?
Crown molding.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. A crown molding. Thank you, Sarah. Ad sha'ala lamul ovia kaporas lamali yemenu mashu. It was just a little bit elevated above the kaporas. Uchsha hakaporas shochev al ovi haktalim. And as the kaporas was resting on the walls of the box, which is the aron, ole hazer, the crown, is elevated just a bit, little bit, lamala mikol ovia kaporis kol shehu. Again, it's not very much above it, just a little bit, vehu siman leketzer Torah. So that even though you weren't actually looking at the luchos, they were contained inside, what was the hint to the fact that the luchos were there? There was this crown of Torah, the keser Torah. Okay? So these details, these little elaborate details, which obviously took an enormous amount of effort to actually produce in practice, they're all certain philosophical or conceptual ideas about Torah. So if you couldn't see the luchos, it was at least important for you to sort of imagine their presence. Not that people were looking at the Aron on a regular basis, right? Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. But the Zer Zahav Saviv. Now, likewise, we mentioned the idea that the Badim, the poles, should be kept within the rings at all times. So the Sefer HaChinuch makes an argument about that. I'll read the Chinuch's reason, and I'll give you a little bit of a different interpretation based on something the Rav said. The Sefer HaChinuch counts, as everybody else does, an Isser, a prohibition of removing the poles from the Aron. Okay, you can remove the poles from the Shulchan, you can remove the poles from the Mizbeach, but you can never remove the poles that were used for transporting the Aron. Shelo lahotzi badei ha'aron mitoch ha'taba'os, not to remove the poles from the ring. Shene'emar b'taba'os ha'aron yiyu ha'badim lo yasuru mimenu, they should never be moved. Mishorashe ha'mitzvah, the very roots of this mitzvah, lefish ha'aron mishkan ha'torah. Of course, the aron is simply the repository, the place where the Torah is kept. V'hi kol ikareinu u'chodeinu. These are beautiful lines in their own right, even if I'll end up going in a different direction. This is our very foundation, and all of our glory is the Torah. that we should provide all honor and grandeur to the greatest extent of our ability to the Torah. Alkein, nitztavinu leval nasir badei ha'aron mimenu. And for this reason, we should never remove the poles of the Aron from it. Peniyat tzricha matzesi ma'aron l'shumakom b'mehirus. Perhaps it would happen, especially during the time of the Jewish people's dwelling in the Midbar, that we'd have to bring the Aron someplace very quickly. V'ulai mitoch hatirda v'achipazon lo nivdok yafel lios badav chazakim kalatzorach. And then, God forbid, maybe the poles, especially if they had been removed recently, wouldn't be properly tightened. And you can already imagine what he's going to say, that if the poles are going to slip out while you're trying to carry the Aron in your rush, right, you're going to have a disaster. The, you know, say for Torah being dropped is bad enough, but you know, the Aron falling on the floor. V'shem achas v'shalom yipol v'ein zeh chavodo aval biyoso bo muchanim la'olam v'lo yasur imenu. This is a safety protocol. Nasa osan chazakos harbe v'lo yareya takala behen. There will never be a takala. There will never be a mishap involving the Aron. Yeah, Ruth, go ahead.
The activities, you know, I'm saying you have so much focus on this measurement and this 5.5 and 3.5,
right,
and this kind of wood and this kind of velvet, and
so we'll see.
You know what? You know how much money and time they spent, like, acquiring all this? Maybe they should be helping the orphans and the widows. And,
right,
like,
and certainly...
And not putting it all into this, like, building.
Right, right, and it's certainly in Sefer Yeshayahu, right? If you're doing one at the expense of the other, if you're Lamali Rov Zivchechem, you know, that's exactly, actually, you know, what you just quoted is...
But these things are an obligation, and there's a finite amount of money.
Right, so I'm going to do my best over the next 15 minutes. I'll make my best case for the details.
It's a difficult challenge, really.
Yeah. But I just wanted to validate what you're saying for just a moment before, you know, again, making the case as best as I possibly can for why the details really do matter, mm-hmm. and the ideas that they represent. Each one of the details sort of represents a certain ideal or concept, and that's why I think it's so important. But the basic premise of your question...
You know, the element of that lost on the vast majority of people, except maybe...
I never know how to answer those questions. I'm not a sociologist, so I can't know.
Like, even in that time, the regular member of Bnei Israel had no idea...
Well, but well, see, that's where I think actually the fact that it was a communal project was really helpful. Vik chuli truma meis kol ish asher yedvenu libo kol ish v'isha asher nadva libam osan bechachma. Right, the idea is everybody was involved. So I would have hoped that, again, not having been there, it's hard to know to what degree people internalized that. The Torah doesn't, you know, say very much more than they were very eager to contribute. But I'll do my best to make the case. But just again to reiterate one point, Ruth, which is that. Yeshayahu Anavi, just a few years before you said it, was also really offended of the idea of, you know, focusing on the korbanos at the expense of the yasom and the almana. Yeah.
I just feel like you see that.
Shiftu yasom, rivu almana. Yes, and that's why we always have to remind ourselves that it's a full package. And if I would say, more than anything else, the purpose of this year today is just to illustrate that point, is that the ritualistic dimension, which is, I think, the apotheosis thereof, is certainly the korbanos, mm-hmm. is absolutely worthless and even offensive. Lama li rov zivchechem, without an emphasis on the Torah, which is why Shlomo was only... the right person to build the Beis HaMikdash, because he asked first, you know, and this is where we started, for a Lev Shomea Lishpoda Samcha, meaning to be able to understand the Torah very deeply. By the way, and it says he got really, really close. The only thing, according to the Medrash, that he didn't understand was Paraduma, Zos Chukas HaTorah. So he really did penetrate to the bottom of everything. Now, in the end...
So all the horses and wine.
Well, unfortunately, Mindy, as you're right, it does go off the rails. And that's it. That's a really important illustration of the principle. You know, as Chazal say, Navos al tiftach ba'atz mechad yom osecha. Shlomo starts off stronger than anybody else in terms of his religious commitment. And unfortunately, he ends up in a very bad place. Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, and it's one of the great tragedies of Jewish history. And it reminds us that nobody is immune. Nobody is immune. And to a certain extent... to a certain extent, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin illustrates, it was because he was too smart for his own good. He understood the Torah so well, he began to think that he didn't even have to practice it, and that's where it really went wrong. Torah says, "Lo yarbe lo nashim v'lo yasur levavo," and Shlomo took 1,000 wives, 300 actual wives, 700 concubines, but Okay, at some point, who's counting? Vinashav, he too is levavo, and it became a very significant problem for him. So anyway, so the Sefer HaChinuch says, the idea is that, you know, part of the kavod that we show to the Torah is that if we have to move with the Torah quickly, we never want, God forbid, anything to be in a situation where the Torah could possibly fall. The Rav interpreted this a little bit differently. And a lot of it is biographical. The Rav obviously represented the tradition of learning from his father, his grandfather, Brisk and Valashin, going back to the Vilna Gaon. And in December 1932, he comes here, you know, at the height of the Depression, as a young man, and he finds that America is not quite Lithuania.
The Rav.
Yeah, and he developed a kind of a credo. He used to refer to it as his 14th animamin. Obviously, there are only 13 animamins, and this is implicit in one of the other ones. We have the 8th animamin is Zos HaTorah Lo Se Muchlefes, that the Torah will never be changed. There will never be another Torah. But the Rav used to say, not seriously that it was a 14th animamin, but his credo was that the Torah is relevant to every society, to every generation, to every culture. And despite the fact that Orthodoxy in the United States of America in 1932 was not what it is in 2017, and that's an understatement, and there were no day schools to speak of. And, you know, 5 years later, he founds Maimonides. But the idea of the Poles being in the Torah at all times, and Ruth, hopefully this is now, you know, getting back to your question of why the details matter, you know, why we're so focused. So he said the idea that of all the kelim, of all of the Klei HaKodesh, the menorah, the shulchan, the Mizbeach HaKtores, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the Kior, of all of the kelim, the one that you have to be ready at all times to take with you, not so much that it doesn't fall, but that it's transportable, that it could be brought to any society, is of course the Torah. B'tabeos ha'aron, in the rings of the Aron, yu abadim lo yasurim menu. And, you know, therein there's a message for the Jewish people for all generations, which started in the desert. Obviously, you have to be able to take it from Midbar Sinai to Midbar Paran, and from Midbar Paran to the next stop, to Hor HaHar, to Mosera, to Chatzeros, you know, Eila Masei V'nei Yisrael. But from Lithuania to New York City and to Boston. And this was the great challenge of his life. And we all know what a wonderful success it was, and it continues to be the challenge. It's not just a geographical challenge, but it's a generational and temporal challenge as well. We have to, especially people who are in the field that I'm in, we have a responsibility to try to transmit the Torah to the next generation, even if it's not across geographical space. It could be across cultural, or in this case especially, a technological space. I always like to say to my students that I'm an immigrant. It's true that I largely grew up in Teaneck, and many of them grew up in Teaneck, but it's not the same Teaneck, because there has been a technological revolution in the years that intervened. So I'm an immigrant, and I have to learn their language, and I have to learn how to be able to transport the Torah, and the Poles can never come out, no matter what the situation is. So again, that would be another example of how the details matter. So the first detail that we were just focused on was Zer Zahav Saviv, the crown of Torah, the glory of Torah. And that's why those, again, not to neglect the orphan or the widow, God forbid, but that's why there's such elaboration in terms of the detail. And Sarah teaches me that it's called the crown molding. And I will now try to use that expression around my wife as often as possible. And she will know that I learned it somewhere.
So in Israel, when they had making the kelim for the third Beit HaMikdash, the first time I saw it, I was like blown away. But yet, just standing next to me was a guy, I remember Stuart, said to me, "Why are you so blown away? That money is being used there and it should be used." The exact same argument was used.
Right.
But yet, to me, it shows the...
It's like a tension. It's like this idea somebody said it, like, is there something called selfish stuff versus non-selfish stuff? And you put money towards using a random thing, like a shul. You know, so it's servicing you. It's not really bad. It's servicing you. It's a good thing that it's servicing you, but it's not necessarily like giving money to children who don't have coats. I think it's like a tension.
Hopefully,
I think that people struggle with all the
time. Hopefully, it's mutually reinforcing the idea of Ali al Regel and coming to the Beis HaMikdash and having these experiences, even though you don't go into the Kodesh Kadashim, is hopefully meant to inspire us to Kadosh Baruch Hu's total message. It's not an accident, Ruthen, especially at the time that we do Aliyah LeRegel, which is on our Yamim Tovim. That's when there's a special mitzvah, as the Rambam details so beautifully, V'samachta v'chagecha. It's not just Atah v'nchovitecha, but it's Levi ger yasam v'almana asher b'sharecha. And as Chazal say, Arba shalcha v'arba shali. My four ones, the Levi, the ger, the yasam, and the almana, the ones who Hashem is taking care of, he calls them Arba shali, my four. And then your four, Atah v'nchovitecha v'ishtecha, that your family as well. So it's dafka at the times when we're most directly in context with the Beis HaMikdash that we have the greatest level of obligation in terms of Bein Adam L'Chaveru as well. So in the ideal sense, it wasn't meant to be one at the expense of the other. It is true that for some people, they lose that message, which is why we need Yeshayahu Perek Aleph to tell us, Lama li rov zivchechem, gam ki sarbu svilai neni shomeya. If you're not doing shiftu yasom rivu almana, if you're not taking care of the almana and the yasom, then what are you doing? So it's certainly meant to be a package deal. Now to get to the third detail, so we spoke about the zer, we spoke about the badim and the idea of Torah being relevant in every generation and every society. Let me just quickly cover the last two details. The fact that the Kruvim, Sarah, asked about this before our miksha, I think is certainly not an accident. I'm actually quite confident that it's not an accident. Because, of course, if the Kruvim represent the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, then I think what a beautiful architectural message it is. Again, the architecture is just metaphor. So what a beautiful architectural, metaphorical message it is that it comes from one piece of gold. You don't describe the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people by taking two pieces of gold and gluing them or hammering them into a base. They come organically out of the same piece of gold. Now, sometimes we don't live up to that. Sometimes we're facing away from each other. Sometimes we're facing each other. But the bottom line is we're miksha. We're tied into one another. As we like to say during davening, ki shimcha nikra banu, which is why whenever the Jewish people are being attacked, it's automatically an attack on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being attacked, it's automatically an attack on the Jewish people. It goes in both directions. Miksha. So there's a Gemara here in Masachas Bava Basra, Daf Tzadi Tes, which we're not going to read the whole thing inside. That's the source of this idea, that they can sometimes face each other and face apart from each other. We'll just read the last two lines. This is where it says, again, the last two lines, that abbreviation, Lamed Mem Dalet, stands for Leman De'amaru Fnehem Labayas. So there was a view that said they didn't face each other, but they faced, the Kruvim faced outwards. They faced the walls of the Kodesh Kadashim. Haksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say, Ufneim Isha Lachiv? So he uses this incredibly beautiful image, the Mitzadidei Atzdudei. Not that they were totally facing outwards or away from each other, but they were both kind of, they were pointed outwards, but they were both glancing back at each other, sort of peeking at each other. The way you imagine if a person goes on a date and then walks away and he wants to see if she's looking back and she wants to see if he's looking back. So you take a picture of that moment. That's the way that the Kruvim were. Demitzadidei atzidudei, detanya unklus hager amar, unklus used to say, Kruvim ma'aseis tza'atsuim heim umitzudadim pneihem ketalmid haniftar mirabo. The Gemara doesn't use the date image, but they use an image which I think is very important. Like a student leaves the teacher, right? Not walking with his face, not facing, but always looking backwards a little bit. But I just wanted to pick up on this idea of Talmud haniftar mipnei rabo, the Talmud who's moving away from the teacher, is again exactly this idea that we're saying, that the foundation of the Kruvim is, of course, the Torah. So that the way that the Kruvim were constructed, according to this opinion, is the way the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people is being depicted as a relationship between the teacher of the Torah and the student of the Torah. Okay, so again, Ruth, a lot of detail, but hopefully detail that's meant to bring to bear certain ideas and certain eternal truths. And then the last...
Walking back from the kotel, you know, that you have to walk backwards and keep your glance there.
Right. Until you get to... Try not to bump into anybody.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
But the same idea.
Right, right. So maybe the easiest way to do it is to do that for the first three steps to back up. It gets a little crowded there, so... But that's exactly the idea.
The knifing was very empty. There was nobody there.
Oh, that's sad. Right.
Because we also, like Mitchell, like, you have to be holistic and not bifurcated, like going back to the other thing.
Ruth would like that very much. Ruth, you hear what Sarah's saying? That the relationship is a holistic one, right? Mm-hmm. That's very important. Well done, Sarah. So the last point I mentioned before is the Atzei team. So again, the Rashi quotes the Medrash Tanchuma. It's where they get the Atzei team from, right? Now, Atzei team are not indigenous to the Sinai Desert. So there's this beautiful tradition, this homily that's recorded in the Medrash, that they came from Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov, before he led the family down to Mitzrayim, so he took some of these trees and they planted them in Mitzrayim, and he says, okay, you're going to need these for the Mishkan. So that the... What's that? Well, I don't know. I'm not quite sure that it's meant to be taken quite literally.
But then how do we think they actually acquired the wood?
Well, the way that they acquired everything else from Mitzrayim and from Yamsuf. Remember, the Torah says that the Jewish people acquired enormous assets of Zav and Kesef. The Torah testifies in Parshas Bishalach that they totally emptied out Egypt. And,
but they didn't know they would need.
No, but they had all of these things. They had all of these things. A sense of Masorah. We don't have a relationship with the Torah which is just reinvented in every single generation. As I said before, we have to find a way to transmit it to each new generation. But the Torah is literally housed, according to this idea in Chazal, within the trees that Yaakov Avinu gave us. Just to say that our relationship to the Torah is mediated via a certain Masorah. A certain sense of tradition, a sense of rootedness in the past. And that takes us back to the very beginning of this year, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first addressed Shlomo HaMelech, how did Shlomo identify himself as a Na'ar Katon? But he said, look, all I'm doing here, you and I both know this, is because of my father. And all I hope to be able to do is to communicate forward and to continue onwards the work of my father. And that's really true of every generation. And Shema b'ni Musar v'chal, titosh Torah simecha. And so that the way that the Aron is being transported around is not just through these poles, but this is why, you have these details. Atzei Shittim, the Atzei Shittim connect us back to Yaakov and the Masorah of our forefathers. The way that we relate to Torah, the way that we carry the Torah around, is not only based on our own understanding that we reinvent in every generation, but rather, as we say in every time, we approach a Kaddish Baruch Hu through the Shmon Esrei, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, the idea that we perceive ourselves as part of a continuum. And so this too was part of the construction of the Aron, that the Aron is literally housed in something which could be described as this construction of the Masorah itself. So again, just to, and I apologize that I went 4 minutes over, but the real theory here is that the Asuli Mikdash, it's all very nice, but Vishachanti Bisocham, the only way that we're ra'oi, that we're fit for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina to be within us is if we maintain our staunch commitment to the Torah, which is why the Mishkan is called the Oel HaEdos, it's why the Aron is the first element of the Mishkan which is described. And it's ultimately why, above all else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates to us, V'no'ati lecha sham. Moshe doesn't hear God's voice on the Mizbeach. Moshe hears God's voice coming from the Kruvim, which of course are on top of the Aron. And indeed, if we understand Miksha Taso, some that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an organic, and Sarah would say a holistic one, we have to bear in mind that the Mizbeach is not some independent religious zone. Me'im Mizbechi tikachanu lamus. Melamed Shetasim Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMizbeach, the Mizbeach, the Avodas HaKorbanos, is significant only in the context of fidelity to the Torah. Halo Osiya Zavu V'Sarasi Shamaru, the most important thing is to keep the Torah, Mitoch Ma'or Sheba, because even if the Jewish people would forget that there even was a Beis HaMikdash, the Torah would return them to me, Mitoch Ma'or Sheba, Machzira and Lamutav. Have a good time.
Talking about this morning, but I find it so, it's like, again, it's like completely.